families, old men and old women, sweet little girls and boys, babies died in the flood. You know why God said? Sin. God looked down at the wickedness of man and saw that it was great, and He despised it. God sent a preacher, and he preached for 120 years while he built an ark. Judgment's coming! Judgment's coming! Why are you building that ark? No, because God said it's going to rain and there's going to be a flood. Oh, goodness, I've heard wild tales about stupid fundamentalist preachers. They mocked him and they laughed at him and they abused him. But I tell you, there was a day when God shut the door and there were only 8 inside and all the rest died. You know what that screams out at you? God hates sin. You know what it tells me? God has a lot of patience.
Yes, He does.
120 years. He comes down, looks at the situation, says it's a very bad situation. It's ugly. It's wicked. I'm going to destroy it, but I'm going to give them 120 years. 120 years. Because they lived a lot longer than we do. Still 120 years. Are you that patient with your wrath? No, no, no. You want it immediate. You want to tell somebody off right now. You want to give it back to them just as good as you can right now. But God's a reasonable God. And God in His reason says, I'll give them 120 years and I'll give them one of the greatest preachers in the world. Not only that, I'll give them a demonstration. Some of you like your visual aids. Every time they walk by that thing and see what he's building, good night, that's a big boat. Barge is what it really was. It really wasn't a boat. Just a great big floating barge. But it had to be a pretty big boat. It tells you how long it was, how big it was. And every time people walk by there, they could say, foolish man, foolish man. Or they could say, God's given a warning. God's given us some time. God's looking for repentance. But that's not what they did. And that wicked world died. And what is that? That's a sign that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against the ungodliness of men. There's another place, Sodom and Gomorrah. We've got a lot of people telling us today that homosexuality is all right and we ought to all be accepting of everybody's different lifestyles and so on. That's not what the Bible says. And I don't care what the school says. I don't care what the law says. You young people, don't be influenced by Hollywood and a bunch of queers and power. God went down to Sodom and Gomorrah and wiped it off the face of the earth. Who got out? Lot and his two daughters. His two unmarried daughters. He left a lot of family there. Wife turns to a pillar of salt. She doesn't really make it. What are these people? These people are homosexuals. That's where the name comes from. The sin is called sodomy. It's men basically lusting after men. It's unnatural. It's not only unnatural, it's sin. And it's a sin that God hates. Has God revealed His wrath from heaven against sodomy?
Yes.
I guess He has. Now, you want to walk that way? The law lets you walk that way. You want to walk that way? Society will say, you're okay, brother, but I tell you what, this life's not the end.
Right.
I mean, there's another test coming somewhere down the line. Either the judgment seat of Christ for a Christian or the great white throne if you're lost. There's another test coming. And God has already revealed from heaven His hatred of that sin. Sodom and Gomorrah are examples to us to this day. Oh, let me tell you another example of how much God hates sin. Take a look at the cross of Calvary. The cross of Calvary. Almost 2,000 years ago. Where God exacted a payment for sin so great, it still boggles the mind. It's the greatest story ever told. The story of the Son of God who came and fulfilled the law of God in His love for mankind. He aimed for the cross from the day of His birth. He aimed for the death in the place of mankind. And there He hung between two sinners and saved one of them before He left. But there on the cross of Calvary, the wrath of God is revealed against the ungodliness of men. And the price that had to be paid by mankind, by one of their own, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin of mankind. The wrath of God, oh, it's revealed. Every time you look at the cross, it says sin demands a terrible payment. Sin demands a sacrifice greater than any man's ever thought about before. Yeah. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against the ungodliness of men. You know, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, it says, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If you listen to the reasoning of God as He points out His hatred of sin, and He finally brings us to the point of the cross of Calvary, what took place on that cross? The blood of Jesus Christ was shed to pay for your sins. That's what took place there. It's not just a good man dying for other men. No, no. This is the one perfect man. The one perfect sacrifice. John the Baptist at the very beginning of his ministry points him out and says, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. We take a look at Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. And we have another answer in this reasoning with God. It's not good people going to heaven. We can't find any good people. It's not righteous people going to heaven. We haven't found a single righteous person. No one can walk up before God and say, I'm righteous before You.
Right.
Nobody. I don't care how much you love them. I don't care how sweet they may be. I don't know how kind they may have been to you. There is not a one without sin. There's not a one that is righteous. Not a one that can walk up before God, and you can't either. The cross of Calvary points out the only way, a substitute, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Ah, yeah. That's a beautiful story. I'm glad I've got that story. I can go into the highest corridors of government. I can go into the highest places of religion. I can go down into every prison in the country. And I've been in more jails than most of you ever been in. And I've preached in Huntsville and in Dominguez Unit. I've been there. And you know what I can tell them? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. If you try to tell me you're innocent, you try to tell me you got a reason, you try to give me an excuse, I got no help for you. I have no help for you. You tell me you're a sinner in need of a Savior, I've got help for you.
Amen.
God says, come reason with Me. Though your sins be as scarlet, they be red like scarlet, I'll make them white like snow. The only way that can be done is in the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, what did God do for you? God, in His reasoning, God, in His wisdom, God, in His great love, although He hates sin, He provided a way for the sinner. He gave you a substitute. He gave you an example. He gave you somebody to die in your place. He gave you somebody that paid your debt. A debt you could not pay. He gave you that. And the blood of Jesus Christ is the only cleansing agent that can remove even a white lie. It can remove murder and adultery. It can remove hatred and bitterness. It can remove every sin in the book. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. Now let me ask you something. Which way do you want to go out and meet God? In your righteousness? In your purity? In your trying real hard and your being very sincere? Do you want to go out and meet God with the life that you've got? You've got a pretty good life. Some of you live a pretty good life. You want to meet God that way? I don't. I've probably prayed more than you have, visited more, preached more, read the Bible more, repented more. But I wouldn't go out that way. Mm-hmm. No. I've reasoned with God. And when I reasoned with God, you know what I came up with? The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses you from all sin. And I said, Lord, what a gift. The unspeakable gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. He died in my place. My only hope is Jesus Christ and His blood. My only hope to ever walk into the presence of God and be accepted by Him and not just destroyed, wiped out, smashed, is that I walk in there in the presence of Jesus Christ, dressed in His righteousness. Whew! I'm not much to put on fancy clothes. I don't care much for formal affairs. But I tell you what, I'm going to be dressed to the nines on that day. I guess it's to the tens. Maybe above the tens. I'll be dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now listen, think with me a little bit. You're here today. I don't know what your reasonings for turning down Jesus up to now. I don't know what your reasonings are for being so self-righteous. You got a right to badmouth other people around you. But if you'll reason with God for just a little while, you know what you'll come up with? God's got the best answer. There is no other answer. There's no other way. Every other means of religion, every other way of salvation, every other religious thought will end in failure. You say, that's awful exclusive. That's what the Bible is, very exclusive. You come by Jesus Christ or you don't get there. You say, but I'm a very sincere worshiper of Buddha. Sorry. Buddha didn't die for you. You say, but I live a very good life and I've walked very hard and I've tried very hard. I'm sorry, but you haven't tried hard enough. Because you see, it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of that sin is death, separation from God in a place called hell or the lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, and you're never going to come out. And you're not that good. If you think you're that good, come sit down with me for about 15 minutes. Or let me sit down with your mother, your father, your husband, or your wife. I'll find out real quick you're not that good. They'll tell on you. I know. I've been sitting in the room when they told on you. They'll do it. There's another verse in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. It's a conclusion. It says, wherefore He, talking about God, is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now, this is a tremendous verse. Wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost. How far is that? Well, it's further than you can reach. It's further than you're going to go. I guarantee you, He's able to save them to the uttermost. Look, that come unto God by Him. Who does He save? People who come to God through Jesus Christ. I want to reason with you. God is reaching out to you today wanting you to reason with Him. He said, come reason with me. Think this through. Don't go through your life stupid all your life. Think this through. Don't go through life thinking, I can't get a new idea. I know everything already. Don't go through life thinking, I'm good enough as I am and everything I have is so perfect. Tomorrow you're going to get blasted. 2 or 3 years from now, you're going to get your feet knocked out from under you. You're going to find out you're not near as smart as you think you are right now. You're not just near as perfect as you think you are right now. Reason with me, God says. Come reason with me. I'll take care of your sin problem. Though your sin is red like crimson, though your sin is ugly and wicked, though your sin is so bad it's in the extreme red, He said, I'll wash you white as snow. I've got a way. I've got a way. Now, the choice is yours. I wish I could make the choice for you. I really do. I've many times looked at my children and different things they had to do, and I'm like, I wish I could make that choice for them, but I don't have that opportunity. You know who I made that choice for? Me. I'm the only one. I can't choose for you. You have to choose for yourself. But let me tell you what I did. I chose for myself 47 years ago. I chose Jesus. I chose a substitute. I chose the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son.
Amen.
I decided to bank everything I had in this life and for all eternity on what God said in this book about the merits of the power of Jesus Christ, that He could save me. You know, I'm not sorry about that yet.
That's right.
I've been through some tough times. I'm not sorry about that yet.
Amen.
I praise the Lord, there is a way to be saved. And we've got a reasonable God. Come talk to Him. Come think with Him. Listen to what He has to say. You'll be convinced that it's only through Christ.
Amen.
Trust Christ and you can be saved. If you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll save your soul. You'll repent of your sins. Call upon Jesus. He'll forgive your sins. He'll take that red in your sin and wash it and make it white. He'll give you the only righteousness you can possibly have. Come reason together with the Lord. Make up your mind to get God's way. Accept His salvation today. Maybe you're here and you're a Christian, you have another burden upon your heart, whatever that might be. This altar's open. If you're here and you're lost, you're not saved yet, oh, bless your heart. Come to Christ and be saved today before it's everlastingly too late. One of these days, all that we're doing is going to end. It's just going to stop. Trust Christ while you have an opportunity. Let's stand and sing number 249. 249. If you're here without Jesus Christ, I invite you to come to Him and be saved. Man or woman, boy or girl. I don't care if you think you have some church membership or some baptism in your background or whatever. Doesn't matter. You need Jesus. And if you have not trusted Jesus as your only hope of salvation, then my friend, you're on the wrong side of God. Come. My Christian friend, you have a burden. This altar's open for you. Sing it out.